And the next person, if he's looking, is Richard. Richard, you're on. So I hope you begin to make your way up to the speaker's podium. Richard Mwangang comes to us from Kenya, where he is with the African Regional Climate, the African Regional Climate Coordinator at the United National Environmental Program. He has a PhD in environmental change and policy from the University of Nottingham in the UK. Come on up. Close to Sherwood Forest, no doubt.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks to the organizers for inviting me to come and present the thoughts of the United Nations Environment Programme on how food security policies could actually help to avert the food insecurity crisis that are happening in developing countries. As you already know, climate change is already affecting so many countries, but the African region is a region that the vulnerability of climate change has been underscored by the recent drought that hit the Sahel in 2012 and the Horn of Africa in 2011. And this brings into sharp focus the need for sustainable solutions to reduce the vulnerability of the 1 billion African citizens that are facing climate change impacts day in and day out. As a result of this, the increasing population, which in less than 37 years today is projected to reach about 9.6 billion people. 23% of these 9.6 billion people will be in the African continent, a continent whereby four added to the planet, will three of them will be added to the continent of Africa. As a result of this, the Food Security Index shows that out of the 8 most food insecure countries on Earth, 10 of them, 8 of them are in the African continent. And this is a continent whereby 240 million people go to bed hungry, malnourished, and at the same time, projections show that crop production will reduce by up to about 20% in 2050. And this is going to affect the 65% of the African workforce that is dependent on agriculture. This will put a lot of pressures on states and countries in the continent. And at the same time, with a shift towards the Millennium Development Goals due to expire in less than 800 days from today, giving birth to the Sustainable Development Goals, it is quite very imperative that we look at solutions that can be able to provide solutions to addressing poverty, addressing climate change, and at the same time, addressing food insecurity. It is quite very difficult to imagine that food security can be addressed without adaptation to climate change, without ensuring that the soils that nourish production and at the same time disease control and even resistance to extreme events. And all these services are provided by ecosystems. And the question that boxes us today is, can we be able to achieve food security in a planet whereby ecological degradation is rising, poverty, climate change is exacerbating the situation? Ecological-based approaches underpin food security. And most of the time, the solutions to addressing food security are centered around the four pillars, and environment or ecosystems have taken the back door. It is quite very vital that the services which ecosystems provide, that range from provisioning to regulating cultural, providing security, actually underline and underpins these four pillars. If you look at these pillars, each of these pillars, ecosystem services, ranging from the forest, ranging from the wetlands, the seas, they all provide water supply, rejuvenate water aquifers that are quite very, very instrumental in ensuring that production can actually happen in such a way that it also addresses some of the challenges like climate change in the world. Here is a diagram showing the four pillars of food security with ecological services being actually the foundation of all this. The question is, what do then ecosystem-based food security policies look like? Effective food security policies should value ecosystem as productive assets. They should invest in ecosystem restoration. Now, only by doing that can we be able to stabilize supply of wild source food products from these ecosystems. And I'm going to run through some examples which we've been working in the continent of Africa to to demonstrate that the types of policies can be informed by practical actions happening on the ground and informing policies and helping governments take that into practical use. For example, in Mozambique, in the northern part of the country, in a district called Shai, where the population was suffering from drought and floods, this resulted to mangrove destruction because they didn't have any alternative but destroying mangroves that harbor coral reefs, which actually acts like harbor for fisheries. Declining fish population came as a result of this destruction of mangroves. Intervention using ecological-based approaches helped the population to restore these mangroves and get them into other alternatives, fish pond construction and even crab farming, which then helped the people, benefiting 98 households with about 490 people. But investment in this was just about $60,000. Small funding, but with multiplier effects, quite very high. The implications for this, the continent of Africa has about 26,000 kilometers of coastline. What happened in Mozambique, there are up to about 25 countries with varying degrees of mangroves across the entire continent. If this practice can be able to be taken into other countries and upscale, there is potential that food insecurity could be reduced. In Uganda, using conservation agriculture, help farmers through agroforestry to be able to address food insecurity, but at the same time, because they use this effective approach, they also had time to involve in chili production, which helped add more dollars to their pocket, benefiting 75,000 people and other estimated 1 million indirect beneficiaries. The implication, this could be upscale, and as a result of this upscaling, adjacent communities throughout the entire African continent could benefit from this. In Zambia, the same happened, benefiting about 7 districts, and through sustainable conservation agriculture, soil and water conservation, soil fertility was improved, benefiting 9,498 people with others above that. This is ripe for upscaling in the entire continent. In Burkina Faso, women were involved in a project whereby they used agroforestry techniques and at the same time also were involved in shade trees protection and using the harvest from these shade trees to ensure that they can be able to sell these and add some money into their pockets, which better their livelihood. In Togo, reconstruction of small dams using the water for irrigation and also spurring entrepreneurship and getting people into actions helped them increase the water supply and at the same time provide opportunities for women and youth. These actions demonstrate that small-scale dam rehabilitation offer great opportunities for communities and at the same time help them address some cross-cutting challenges which are quite very vital. But with the current policies existing today, by understanding that ecosystem underpin the foundation of food systems, it is quite very, very important that integrating this into the entire food system constitute the first foundation towards moving ahead and at the same time achieve a food secured world. Developing policies that balance maximizing food production is quite very, very essential. Valuing long-term services provided by ecosystem over short-term is again imperative. Last August, we organized the first Africa Food Security Conference in Nairobi, bringing 800 participants from all across the world, and the rationale was pretty much to take stock and understand exactly the existing practices in the continent and also understand the barriers that are inhibiting these to be upscale and how these practices can be mainstreamed into decision-making frameworks. As I conclude, these few experiences that I've shown here has potential to spur development of larger efforts and address food security at the same time climate change. Rising food prices doesn't mean that a continent like Africa and others across the world should be food insecure. By ensuring that we can be able to address and scale these good practices, making them the rule rather than the exception, we can be able to achieve Africa's turn Africa's food insecure situation into a secure situation in which the population doesn't experience the fear of want. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard, for this presentation.